Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 4.1, Leadership, Teamwork, and Professional Collaboration. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Right. And it's such a crucial topic.
It really is. So I want you to think about the absolute worst group project you've ever been a part of, because we all have one, right?
Oh, definitely. We've all been there.
You've got that one teammate who just completely vanishes into thin air. And then, you know, you have the other one who tries to dictate every single decision.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the rest of the group is just like caught in this chaotic crossfire. So today we're really looking at the exact mechanical breakdowns of why that happens.
Right.
And more importantly, the hidden skills required to become the person who can step in and actually fix it.
Yeah, it is a truly universal experience. And, you know, fixing it really starts by completely dismantling a very old, very stubborn myth about what leadership actually is.
Okay, unpack that a bit. What myth?
Well, we are basically conditioned to think of leadership as a noun, like a title. You know, the corner office, the manager badge, the person who just gets to call the shots.
Right, like it's a crown you wear or something.
Exactly. But when we look at the reality of modern work, leadership is absolutely not limited to management positions. It is completely a verb.
A verb. I like that.
It is. It's something demonstrated through, you know, taking initiative, accountability, communication, and problem solving. And that applies to any environment you're in.
So it's less about the title and more about the action. It's kind of like the active glue of how you show up, right?
Exactly. The glue.
Like whether you're a university student on day one of a group presentation or an early career professional stepping into some massive tech firm, leadership is just the daily action you take to keep a team moving forward.
And I can tell you, organizations are desperate for people who know how to apply that glue. I mean, there is a very concrete return on investment here.
It's not just about, like, having a nice, pleasant workplace environment.
No, not at all. Individuals who can collaborate effectively, support their teams, and take initiative responsibly, they see drastically improved career opportunities.
Oh, for sure.
And on the organizational side, these behaviors directly drive productivity, they fuel innovation, and they strengthen workplace relationships. That combination is really the engine of a digitally enabled workforce.
Okay, so let's break down how that engine actually works, because we have these three distinct concepts that they tend to get thrown around interchangeably, but they're very different gears, right? We've got leadership, teamwork, and professional collaboration.
Right. So first we have leadership, and this is defined fundamentally as guiding, supporting, and influencing others positively.
So it's about influence, not authority.
Exactly. It's not about being the boss. Second is teamwork. Now, this is the execution phase. It really focuses on effective collaboration that improves outcomes and guarantees shared success.
So teamwork is the actual, like, physical or digital act of working together toward a common goal.
Spot on. And then we have professional collaboration, which honestly operates like the operating system for the other two.
Right.
When you look at what makes professional collaboration actually function, it boils down to a very specific triad: communication, accountability, and trust.
Okay, I have to push back a little bit here on this idea of, like, universal leadership.
Sure, go for it.
If organizations want absolutely everyone to show leadership, like if every single person from the summer intern to the senior developer is supposed to be a quote-unquote leader, doesn't a team full of leaders just cause chaos?
I mean,
well, I'm picturing, you know, a restaurant kitchen with 10 head chefs all trying to dictate the menu. I mean, that just leads to competing egos and total gridlock, doesn't it?
Ah, I see. But that assumes leadership means giving orders. And true leadership, at least in this context, is about guiding and positively influencing.
Okay.
It doesn't mean being the loudest voice in the room. It means identifying what the team needs in that specific moment to succeed and then providing it.
But wait, even if it is positive influence, let's say I realize the team needs someone to take meeting notes, so I jump in to do it.
Right.
But another person also realizes we need notes, so they jump in too. We're both trying to exert positive influence, but now we're duplicating work, stepping on each other's toes, and just confusing everyone. I mean, even with good intentions, it's still chaotic.
That is a brilliant distinction. Actually, what you were describing there is a breakdown in the third pillar of professional collaboration.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The intent was leadership, but without communication and role clarity, the intent just fails. Effective collaboration relies heavily on shared success and trust, not just individual initiative.
Okay, I think I'm tracking.
Right, so true leadership in your scenario wouldn't just be silently starting to take notes. It would be recognizing the gap, speaking up, and saying, hey, I notice we don't have a designated note taker for this session. I'm happy to do it today, unless someone else prefers to.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You've identified a problem, proposed a solution, and invited consensus.
Exactly. And that prevents the chaos.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So it's the communication that actually organizes the initiative, which I guess brings us to a massive shift in how we actually do this today.
Right, the digital shift.
Yeah, because we aren't sitting around a big mahogany table in a boardroom anymore. We're doing this in modern, digitally enabled environments. So we have to look at the practical digital tools that make this possible, you know, platforms like Slack, Microsoft Teams, and Trello.
And it's important to realize these aren't just software applications. They are the new digital environments where professional collaboration literally lives or dies.
Wow, yeah.
Let's look at accountability, for instance. In a traditional physical workplace, accountability often meant a manager walking over to your physical desk and asking for a status update.
Which is inherently stressful, by the way.
Very. But when you move into a digital environment, a Kanban board like Trello operates as this shared, highly visible accountability mirror.
An accountability mirror. I like that.
Yeah.
Everyone can see the shared accountability. Everyone sees who is assigned to what and what stage the work is in.
Exactly. And let's look at the psychology of that digital mirror for a second. Shared accountability changes the entire psychological dynamic of a team.
How so?
Well, in a poorly functioning team, an individual just thinks, I did my part, so I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the focus is entirely on self-preservation.
Right, the whole not my job mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when you use a visible project board effectively, the focus shifts to, is the project succeeding? You literally drag a card from doing to done, and you are visually, publicly taking accountability for that piece of the shared success.
And it kind of forces peer-to-peer mentoring too, right? Because everyone's success is visibly tied together in real time.
Yes. Now, what about the communication side? Because we have tools like Slack and Teams, and a core strategy from the text is listening actively.
Right, which is funny because we typically think of listening as something we do with our ears. But in a digital environment, active listening is essentially what? Reading comprehension and digital etiquette.
Yes, it is the digital equivalent of eye contact. I mean, think about it. In a physical room, if someone speaks to you and you just stare at them blankly and then turn your back, that destroys trust immediately.
Oh, absolutely. It's so rude.
Right. But in a digital environment, reading a message in a shared channel and ignoring it, leaving someone on read, is that exact same micro-abandonment.
That is such a great way to put it, micro-abandonment. So active listening digitally is paying attention to the thread discipline. It's acknowledging a teammate's point before pivoting to your own agenda. Or even something as simple as like using a quick checkmark emoji to show you saw their update so they don't feel like they're just shouting into a digital void.
Yeah, the core strategies here, encouraging inclusive participation and supporting team communication, they're directly applied through how you wield these platforms.
Right.
Are you tagging the right people so they're included in the decision?
Yeah.
Are you keeping communication transparent in shared channels rather than, you know, hiding critical updates in private direct messages?
So digital leadership really requires intentional transparency.
It does. Completely.
Okay. So let's take this from the software to the humans actually clicking the buttons. We need to look at what happens when this entire system breaks down, because let's be real, it always breaks down at some point.
It definitely does. And the materials provide a highly realistic case study of a student project team that was really struggling. Their performance was tanking, morale was low, and they were experiencing all those typical collaborative breakdowns we discussed earlier.
Let's diagnose that. Because you usually have the ghost, the person who vanishes, and you have the dictator, the person who does 90% of the work.
Right.
And the dictator feels resentful because they are doing everything, but they also refuse to delegate because they just don't trust anyone else to do it right.
Exactly. Ambiguity is the enemy of collaboration. But the team in the case study actually managed to completely turn their performance around.
Yeah, they do it.
They introduced three specific mechanics: clear communication roles, shared accountability, and collaborative decision-making practices.
Okay, let's explain why that actually works. Because clear communication roles isn't just about assigning tasks, is it? It's about removing the anxiety of the unknown.
Yes, exactly.
Like, if I know that Sarah is exclusively responsible for synthesizing the research and David is responsible for formatting the final deck, I don't have to panic and try to do Sarah's job for her.
Right. It rebuilds that foundation of trust. And by establishing shared accountability, they shifted the metric of success. The grade or the outcome belongs to the group, not the individual.
So the dictator is forced to let go of control.
And the ghost is forced to step up because their lack of contribution is now highly visible to everyone. And finally, collaborative decision-making ensured everyone actually had a voice.
You know, someone might listen to this and think, well, that's just a university student scenario. They're just trying to get through a class presentation. How does this apply to the future workplace when the stakes are actual careers and millions of dollars?
I hear that a lot, but it scales perfectly. The exact same breakdowns happen in professional environments. The human dynamics are identical regardless of the tax bracket.
Really? Even at the corporate level?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Imagine a massive product launch at a global tech company. If there is ambiguity between the software engineering team and the product marketing team-like unclear roles regarding who is finalizing the launch timeline, the entire launch will fail.
Wow.
The scale is larger, the budget is larger, but the root cause is the exact same lack of role clarity and trust that kills a student project. And the exact same leadership solutions apply.
So fixing a broken student group project today means you are literally running the exact diagnostic skills you will need to save a massive corporate initiative tomorrow.
That is precisely why organizations value these skills so highly. They are not just looking for people who can write code or build spreadsheets. They are looking for people who already know how to untangle collaborative knots.
Which naturally leads to a really crucial discussion about how we step up to untangle those knots. Because taking charge sounds great in theory, but we have to talk about how to do it ethically.
Yes, responsibility is key here.
The text specifically mentions taking initiative responsibly. And that word responsibly carries a lot of weight, doesn't it?
It carries all the weight. Taking initiative responsibly in a collaborative setting means stepping up to solve challenges without stepping on toes or eroding trust.
Right.
We can contrast two different approaches here. The unethical, unilateral approach is saying, hey, I noticed our project is falling behind, so I completely reorganized our entire team schedule and reassigned everyone's tasks without asking.
Oh my gosh, that destroys trust entirely. I mean, it might be initiative, but it is deeply disrespectful.
Exactly.
The responsible version of that initiative has to invite collaboration. It probably sounds more like, hey, I noticed our timeline is slipping. I took the liberty of drafting a proposed new schedule. Can everyone take a look and let me know if this new workflow makes sense for your bandwidth?
Yes. The first approach is about control. The second approach is about shared success.
Mm.
It brings us directly to the strategy of encouraging inclusive participation.
Right.
Because professional collaboration relies on trust, and you cannot build trust if you are dominating the space or silencing diverse perspectives.
So true professional collaboration relies on actively creating a safe space, like a psychological safe space where the quietest person in the room feels secure enough to share their perspective.
Absolutely.
Because innovation dies in an echo chamber. If one person dominates the Slack channel or the Zoom call, you are just losing out on the cognitive diversity of the entire team.
That is so true. Your job as a leader in that moment might just be noticing who hasn't spoken and gently asking, hey, we haven't heard your thoughts on this approach yet. What are we missing?
That is the essence of inclusive participation. When all team members feel valued and heard, they just do vastly better work.
And it directly feeds into the productivity and innovation that organizations are looking for.
Okay, so we have covered the theory, the digital tools, the case studies, and the ethics. Let's get into the actionable habits. Shifting to some practical growth advice, what are the specific steps a listener can start taking today to build this digital confidence?
The roadmap really requires executing three daily habits. First, listen actively during collaboration. Second, take responsible initiative during projects and challenges. And third, actively support team accountability and communication.
To make that practical, let's walk through the activity suggested in the text. There's a brilliant mental framework you can use. You can run a diagnostic scan on any team dynamic you're a part of.
Yes, I love this activity.
The next time you are sitting in a meeting or scrolling through a complex project thread, pause and ask yourself four questions. One, where is the hidden leadership opportunity here? Two, how could we communicate this information better? 3, what is our core collaboration challenge right now? And 4, how are we holding ourselves accountable?
If you run that diagnostic scan regularly, identifying those gaps becomes second nature. It literally becomes an automatic reflex you carry into every professional interaction.
That is so powerful.
It is. And to deepen that reflex, the course materials actually recommend 3 highly influential books for further reading. And we want to acknowledge these titles exactly as they appear in the source material.
Yay.
They are The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, Leaders Eat Last, and Emotional Intelligence.
When you look at those titles, they perfectly represent the deep psychological layers of everything we've just discussed today. I mean, a concept like the 5 dysfunctions of a team gets right at the heart of the breakdowns in trust and fear of conflict that ruin group projects.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a concept like leaders eating last is the exact antidote to the ego-driven dictator we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It flips the dynamic from serving yourself to serving the team's shared success. And finally, emotional intelligence is really the underlying operating system required to read the digital room.
Oh, for sure. You need high emotional intelligence to realize that a teammate's short, clipped messages on Slack aren't meant to be aggressive, but are actually a sign that they are overwhelmed and need support.
Exactly. It's about empathy in a digital space.
So, bringing this entire deep dive full circle to your personal journey and future readiness, the materials leave us with a reflection prompt to really lock this in. How can leadership and teamwork skills improve my future academic and professional success?
Well, based on the mechanisms we've unpacked today, the answer is that mastering these pillars proves you are adaptable.
Right.
Leadership involves communication and responsibility. Teamwork drives productivity and innovation. And professional collaboration completely depends on building trust and shared accountability.
So mastering these skills proves to future employers that you aren't just a cog who can complete a task. You are a catalyst who can elevate the performance of everyone around you.
Exactly.
That is the ultimate competitive advantage in a digital, highly connected world. So to wrap up this episode, we want to encourage you to stay intensely curious, be responsible in how you take initiative, and keep focusing on being future ready.
And please make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities provided in your course. Those exercises are specifically designed to turn these theoretical frameworks into daily muscle memory.
Yes, definitely do that. We also want to explicitly acknowledge and thank the course designers for these materials, including the references to those key books, The 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, Leaders Eat Last, and Emotional Intelligence, as well as the practical digital tools like Slack, Teams, and Trello. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Yes, thank you for listening.
We will leave you with this final provocative thought to mull over on your own. As artificial intelligence continues to advance, we are going to see it take over the mechanical tasks of project management. AI will soon automatically assign tasks on Trello, draft the update emails, and schedule the meetings. The mechanical parts of collaboration will just vanish. So when the software is doing all the managing, the only thing left for you to do is the purely human element, resolving nuanced conflicts, demonstrating empathy, and building deep trust. Are you outsourcing your leadership to the digital tools, or are you using the digital tools to elevate your human leadership? Take care.